to the good senator from the ivory tower, I would say, we've tried it your way for decades. And every spring, it seems like there's a mass shooting at guess where? Not a police station, not a gun show, not any other place where everybody's fully armed and everybody knows they're fully armed. Where do they happen? Schools.
From their ivory tower, they tell us that guns can't and won't protect children. Then why are there armed Wyoming state troopers patrolling the Wyoming Capitol? Evidently, or at least in their mind, the only thing that guns can protect are lying politicians that don't respect your Second Amendment rights. We've got lots to do. Come on, let's go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne. Good evening, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday evening. We begin this morning with Dan Hide the Vote Zwanitzer. All of this happened just about 20 minutes ago on the floor of the House of Representatives. Of course, I'm recording this on Wednesday evening, right after the vote on Senate File 109, which was the Stop Red Flag Gun Seizure Bill. In the gallery, along with yours truly, there was a considerable amount of senators standing behind me and the lobbyist for Wyoming gun owners, Aaron Doerr. Of course, as is customary of people sitting in the gallery, a lot of pictures were being taken of the activity down on the floor. And because Bob Nicholas had stacked about five different amendments onto Senate File 109, the conservatives on the floor were asking for recorded votes on each and every amendment, which is well within the rules of the House of Representatives. It's Rule 12-4. And then Dan Hide the Vote Zwanitzer said this.
Under House Rule 8-5, I would like to issue a protest of the House. It doesn't happen very often in this body, but we are now weaponizing the process by calling for the ayes and noes on each one of these amendments, right?
How is that weaponizing the process? The only reason he thinks it's weaponizing the process is it's a gun bill, one of the things that Wyoming citizens care the most about, and he and his pals are making really dumb campaign decisions on Senate File 109. There's no weaponization of the process. It's in the rules. It's Rule 12-4. Anyhow.
With three lobbyists up in the North Gallery staring over us with clipboards taking photos of our every vote.
Now, hold on just a second. There was only one lobbyist in the North Gallery. That was Aaron Doerr. The only other two lobbyists in the entire place were paid for by Dan Zwanitzer. One of them was Rebecca Fitzgerald, the treasurer of the Wyoming Caucus PAC, and the other was her business partner in R5 Strategies. But of course, those two paid political operatives were not in the North Gallery, they were in the West Gallery. And really, those other two lobbyists weren't exactly entirely paid for by Dan Zwanitzer, they're paid for by the entire Wyoming Caucus. Yeah, the 31 redcoats that are down there on the floor of the House of Representatives. I don't really know why Dan Zwanitzer had a problem with the majority of lobbyists being paid for out of his campaign and his redcoat buddies' campaign funds. But anyway, I digress. Here's the rest of what the champion of voting transparency, Hide the Vote Dan Zwanitzer, had to say.
It's intimidation. And the chair of appropriations, right or wrong, I think we can all agree he's doing what he thinks is right for this bill and for the laws of Wyoming. He's not playing games, right? He's trying to take it seriously. And so continuing to weaponize by calling for the ayes and noes, I think is just inappropriate, and I would like to issue a protest of the House to be entered in the Journal, For those of you new to the process, it doesn't have any force or rule of law, but I do think it's important that we restore some civility to this institution and not weaponize it against our own members. Thank you.
Representative Zwanitzer, pursuant to Rule 8-5, your protest will be entered in the journal.
I tell you, my friends, the hypocrisy with these people never ends. It's weaponization of the process when it's being done to them. But if they had the chance to call for the ayes and noes using Rule 12-4, they would absolutely do it for their own political advantage. Take Dan Hyde the Vote Zwanitzer's whining for what it really is. They got caught on a gun bill that they were trying to destroy, and there were people in the audience that were watching them. That is what he's complaining about. Had I not been recording exactly what they were doing and every single vote they were taking, had there not been a bunch of senators standing behind me, and had Wyoming gun owners Aaron Doerr not been there, they may very well have gotten away with it. But in this case, they didn't. Senate File 109, the Ban Red Flag Gun Seizures Bill, is on its way to a conference committee, where no doubt the Senate will strip out Albert Sommers' dumb amendment. Do you want to know what they, that is, some Wyoming senators and some Wyoming representatives, think about your Second Amendment rights? Here you go. In the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting, after they killed House Bill 125, the repeal of gun-free zones in Wyoming. Take a listen to this. If this doesn't make you angry, nothing will.
You made me do all that work.
Three no's, two ayes.
Mr. Chairman.
I wish I could say that maniacal laugh was off of an Austin Powers movie, but it's not. That was the Senate Judiciary Committee after they killed House Bill 125. And the thumping that you heard, that wasn't a gavel. That was Nancy Case pounding the back of Chairman Bill Landon's chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Did you hear him right at the end? Ah, that was good work, wasn't it? Well, the truth is, my friends, there are a bunch of Wyoming senators and representatives that don't give a rip about the Second Amendment, and they certainly really don't want you to have your Second Amendment rights. That's absolutely the truth. Now, none of us really want to believe that. We all want to believe that our senators and representatives respect the Second Amendment just like all of us do. But the truth is, they don't. What they say and what they do are two entirely different things. That last soundbite I played for you, that was at the end of the Judiciary Committee meeting in the Senate on House Bill 125. That was the repeal gun-free zones bill from Jeremy Haroldson. Right before they did that, all of them claimed that they absolutely love the Second Amendment, that they've always been Second Amendment supporters. Again, it's not what they say. It's what they do and how they vote. The next set of sound bites is really, really important because there's a group of Wyoming senators that are explaining how much the Second Amendment means to them. How they are gun people just like everybody else in Wyoming and how they treasure their Second Amendment rights. Here's Senator Ed Cooper.
I think I understand why it was brought here short notice, but this is a bill of so much importance for public safety, but also for our Second Amendment rights that I care so much about.
Right on, Senator Cooper. I care a lot about the Second Amendment myself. Here's what Senator Bill Landon said, the chairman of Senate Judiciary.
Believe me, I'm pretty proud of my rating. I'm a Second Amendment guy, just like all the rest of our Wyoming people are.
Holy cow, we've got just a regular gun enthusiast convention going on. Don't forget, all of these people are Republicans. And here is Second Amendment rock star, Republican Wendy Schuller.
In Wyoming, I took hunter safety 100 years ago, so I could get a concealed permit. I don't have one, I don't want one, but I could get one. I haven't shot a gun in years. I shot a deer many years ago, but long, long time ago.
Again, not the shout-it-from-the-rooftops endorsement of the Second Amendment that we would all like, but still, she's shot a gun before and a deer, so she has to have some sort of Wyoming street cred for the Second Amendment.
What I'm getting at here is there are Republicans all throughout the Wyoming legislature that say that they support the Second Amendment, when in truth, they don't. It's all a campaign ploy so that they can get elected. Let's begin with Senator Bill Landon. Now, this is one that's been sticking in my craw for quite some time. He has this story about being involved in a school shooting at Casper College. Here he is talking about it.
I'm the only person in this room that's been through a school shooting. I was on campus.
I remember it.
A couple of hundred yards away, when a shooter came on that campus and took out one of our instructors and then ultimately took out himself. And I can tell you, folks, it wouldn't have mattered if I'd have had my pistol there. I wouldn't have had the time. It was a done deal about that fast. Nobody's ever come to me who advocates for these bills and never sat down and talked to me about that day or what happened or how it happened or what my observations are. I just find that interesting. I'm the only one that's been through one.
Well, there's only a couple of problems with what Senator Bill Landon said there. First, Bill Landon wasn't anywhere near it. He was a couple of hundred yards away. So like he said, even if he had his pistol, it wouldn't have done any good. He didn't even have a chance to hear it when it happened because it was a bow and arrow. It wasn't even a shooting with a gun. From CBS News, from December 3rd of 2012, and I quote, "Police in Casper, Wyoming say Christopher Crum shot an arrow into the head of his father, James Crum, 56, with a high-powered bow Friday while his father was teaching a computer science class at Casper College," end quote. Now, why the good senator brings up this situation while he's discussing a gun-free school zones bill is anybody's guess, because it doesn't have anything to do with firearms, and it's really not applicable at all. Now, I'll give it to him. It was a school shooting, but nothing that he's talking about in that committee meeting would have done a thing about it. Yeah, so not really applicable at all. Let's deal with Bill Landon first. Remember, he's super proud of his NRA rating, except he voted against the bill. And let me remind you what he and Nancy Case did after they killed the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
That was good work, Bill.
Yeah, that's Bill Landon and Nancy Case. But this wasn't the end for House Bill 125. It was recalled from Senate Judiciary to the Committee of the Whole on the Senate floor. The whole way that they got it to the Senate floor, it really is kind of fascinating, but it's really complicated parliamentary procedure. The only thing you need to know is that there were two votes. The first one was to overrule the decision of the chair, and then the second one was to bring the actual bill to the floor. In case you forgot, here's what Ed Cooper said about the bill and about the Second Amendment.
This is a bill of so much importance for public safety, but also for our Second Amendment rights that I care so much about.
And here is how Ed Cooper voted on that first go-around so that they could bring House Bill 125 to the floor of the Senate. Now, this one's a little bit complicated because the vote is backwards. If they voted yes, it would be to sustain the ruling of the chair, that is, Ogden Driscoll's decision. If they voted no, it would be to overturn it. Now, listen very carefully to how quickly Ed Cooper answers this one.
Cooper?
Aye.
Aye.
What? What was that? He voted yes. He voted to sustain the ruling of the chair and agree with Ogden Driscoll. But I thought that he cared so much for the Second Amendment. So that was Ed Cooper's vote, just to get you going. But like I said, this whole thing was a little bit complicated, and I need to explain it a little bit. And I'll do that right after we get a word in from our sponsors. Of course, today's episode of Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Gunrunner Auctions. They are one of the nation's leading online firearms auction houses, and they're celebrating their 27th year. Over in Cody, Scott Weber, the owner, specializes in estate firearms. The first thing he does is he travels to the estate and appraises the firearms for the heirs. And then he takes them to his Cody auction facility where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his team post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of the auctions start at $20 and there's no reserve. So if you're looking for a new firearm, or if you don't know that you're looking for a new firearm, go to GunrunnerAuctions.com. Cowboy State Politics is also brought to you by Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So if you're looking for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or maybe a giant warehouse, give my pals Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at MortonBuildings.com. And now, back to the program. So the very first thing that happened is Senator Dave Kinski made the motion to bring the bill from the Judiciary Committee to the floor of the House. Then there was a question of whether that motion required a two-thirds or a simple majority. Ogden Driscoll declared, or decreed, shall I say, that it required a two-thirds. It was then taken to the Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee said that it was a two-thirds vote. So then there was a motion to overrule the Rules Committee, and here is what happened then. Ogden Driscoll had an absolute meltdown. Listen to this.
And this goes out to everybody. This is an embarrassment, folks, and you're participating in it. It pains me to no end to stand here and talk to you this way, but it's an embarrassment. Is there going to be any rulings that come out of that chair that don't get appealed? If you don't like it, you just jump up and say, I appeal. I appeal strongly. Well, you know what? This is what Washington, D.C. does, and we're heading down that path, and it's unbelievable. I'm imploring you to put a stop to the absolute idiocy of what's going on, and I'll call it idiocy. This is sad.
It's not sad. It's in the rules. What everything that you've been seeing in the House of Representatives that we've been talking about on the program, everything that's been happening in the Senate is all in the rules. So even if somebody appeals the decision of the chair, that's in Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure and it's in Robert's Rules of Order. Now, of course, the legislature doesn't use Robert's Rules of Order. They use Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure. But the two are really, really similar. So anyhow, after Ogden has his meltdown, then the first question went to a vote. Here's how it all turned out, and I'm going to play the whole thing in its entirety so you can hear exactly how everybody voted. This is the motion to overrule the decision of the chair.
We are on the objection to the ruling of the chair, and I supports the chair and sustains the ruling. A no opposes the chair and rejects the ruling. Roll call.
Roll call on the appeal. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barlow?
Aye.
Aye. Biteman? No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Brennan?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. French?
No.
Furphy?
Aye.
Aye. Guru?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Hutchings?
Aye.
Aye. Ide?
No.
No. Jones? No. Kinski?
No.
No. Cole?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Larson?
No.
No. McEwen?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Salazar? No. Schuler? Aye. Scott?
No.
Steinmetz?
No.
President Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. On the appeal, 15 aye, 16 no.
So they win the first vote, and Ogden Driscoll's decision is overturned. Now, did you hear how many Republicans in there voted to agree with Ogden Driscoll and not overturn his decision? Let me repeat them for you. It's Anderson, Baldwin, Case, Cooper, Ellis, Furphy, Hutchings, Landon, Nethercott, Pappas, Shuler, and Driscoll. Now, a little bit later in the program, I'm going to play for you what Lynn Hutchings had to say. She explained why she voted with Ogden Driscoll in the first place. Now, I don't really buy her analysis of it or her reasoning for doing that, but in the end, she ended up voting for House Bill 125. Now, remember, all of those guys were Republicans, and a couple of them already said how much they care about the Second Amendment. Don't forget about Landon and Cooper and Shuler. The second vote they had to take was to actually bring House Bill 125 onto the Senate floor. Here's that vote, and listen very carefully.
The question is on the motion to withdraw House Bill 125 and recommit to Committee of the Whole. Roll call.
Roll call on recall of House Bill 125. Anderson?
No.
No. Baldwin? No. Barlow?
No.
Biteman? Aye. Boner? Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Brennan?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Cooper?
No.
No. Dockstetter? Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. French?
Aye.
Aye. Furphy?
No.
No. Guru?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Hutchings? No. Ide?
Aye.
Aye. Jones? Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Cole.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
No.
No. Larson.
Aye.
Aye. McEwen.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott. No. Pappas.
No.
No. Rothfuss.
No.
No. Salazar.
Aye.
Aye. Shuler. No. Scott.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Aye. President Driscoll.
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. On the recall, 16 aye, 15 no.
By your vote of 16 to 15, House Bill 125, Repeal Gun-Free Zones and Preemption Amendments, has been withdrawn from Committee Number 1 and committed to General File.
Pretty much all the same Republicans. None of them wanted to even talk about House Bill 125. Did you catch Cooper in there? The guy that loves the Second Amendment so much? Let me play that one for you again. And just listen how long it takes him to answer the question. And remember, what did he say about the Second Amendment?
This is a bill of so much importance for public safety, but also for our Second Amendment rights that I care so much about.
The question is, does Senator Cooper even want to talk about House Bill 125? Here's his answer.
Cooper?
No.
No.
So he doesn't even want to bring it to the floor now. So the guy that cares about the Second Amendment so much voted against overturning Ogden Driscoll's decision that would start this whole process, and then voted against even talking about House Bill 125. Here's what he said not a few minutes later.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm going to speak on and for the bill. It does a couple things for my constituents. First of all, it protects our Second Amendment rights and my Second Amendment rights, and I think that's critical to this discussion. In fact, it should be foremost.
So now he's in support of the bill. He voted against it twice, not a few minutes earlier, but now he has to extol the virtues of House Bill 125. What they say and what they do are two entirely different things. And remember, the people who tried to kill House Bill 125 are all Republicans. Now, I told you a little bit earlier that I was going to play what Lynn Hutchings had to say on her votes. And I think that she does a good job explaining them. I don't agree with that reasoning. I never have. But here's what Senator Lynn Hutchings had to say.
I wasn't a fan of the process this morning, so I voted no, and I think I've always been like that, but I love this bill. I think it's important. I hope it passes. I'm on and for it. My first year in the House, I went to a committee and stood up for what I thought was the right thing to do. And I remember calling my husband that night, and he says, "Where are you?" I'm like, "I'm in the Capitol." He says, "You will not go to your car unless you get someone to take you there." And I said, "Why?" He said, "People have been calling the house, threatening you all day long." So for the next 2 weeks, I had someone escort me to my car. I felt very unsafe, and I would have loved to have had my concealed carry to protect myself if need be. That was my first year in the House. My first year in the Senate, the same thing happened. I didn't have anybody to escort me to my car. I was given permission to carry something that I would pretty much have to have had someone be right on top of me to use. I didn't like that. The calls, the threats, and the emails went on all night and all day for quite a while after the legislative session. There are millions of people in this country right now that have crossed our borders. We don't know where they are. We don't know who they are. I want to be safe. And here, I want you guys to be safe and have the right to carry your firearms. Gun-free zones, as far as I've seen, in my few years, have not made our schools safer. So on and for the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
In the end, a day and a half ago, House Bill 125 passed Committee of the Whole. Since that time, it has passed second reading in the Wyoming Senate. Tomorrow, it'll be on third reading. Now, the reason why this evening's episode is late and the whole episode for today is way late is I wanted to collect a lot of sound bites from the House of Representatives, and I was able to do that. It just took way longer than I thought. So on an upcoming episode, I'm going to walk you through exactly what happened in the House of Representatives when they were talking about how Senate File 109. That's the ban red flag gun laws bill. Well, it's getting late, and I'm already 38 minutes past when I said I'd have this thing published. But like I said, the session is a little crazy, and sometimes we have to mix up the schedule a little bit. So for now, from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.